Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Where's Kenny going? Marcia turned to her friend Betsy as she watched her friend's 5-year-old son stomp out of the kitchen. Oh, he's just going to his room, I think, Betsy replied, clearing the table. All of a sudden? Marcia was still puzzled. Well, it looked like Kenny and Brandon were a bit at loggerheads over the fort they're working on in the dining room, so I think Kenny just gave himself a time out, Betsy replied. A time out? Marcia's jaw dropped. Isn't that a punishment? He's punishing himself? No, it's not a punishment, Betsy explained matter-of-factly. It's a way of getting out of the situation that's causing trouble, so you can calm down. The calming is the point. He sure looked pretty fed up, Marcia grimaced. Is he going to come back happy? Not happy, most likely, Betsy smiled, but maybe more ready to work things out with Brandon. We'll see. Well, if this works, Marcia chuckled, we need to get it in pill form and send it all over the world. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about time out? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest has been working with families for a long time. Dr. Richard Lang is a social worker who has coordinated and led parenting groups for the Center for Family Services in Camden, New Jersey, for the past 17 years. He is the father of 2 grown sons and has a grandson and a granddaughter. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Dr. Lang.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
What is the biggest misconception about timeout?
I think the biggest misconception is that a lot of parents use it as punishment. I've seen parents say, you know, if you touch that TV, you're going to get a timeout. Or if, you know, fighting with your sister, you says, you know, you're going to get a timeout. And that's really punishment. A lot of parents use timeout for natural and logical consequences. And I was watching this parent with this kid who was building a fort. And you know how kids build forts with the chairs and the blankets. And the little boy started taking one of the chairs on a sort of a not safe angle. And the mother said, you know, get down, get down. If you don't get down, I'm going to put you in your room. And that's not really the use of timeout. What she should have said was, you know, if you can't use the fort correctly, I'm going to have to take it apart. Now, you have a choice here. Do you want to use it correctly or do you want me to take it apart? That's a natural logical consequence. Sending a kid to a room for that reason is not really a timeout. Plus, the other thing is that a lot of times when parents use timeout, this is what I think is an important part, is that when they send the child away, let's say the 2 siblings are fighting over a game and the parent goes in and says, that's it, you guys are timeout, and they send them away. Usually when they come back, they usually come back to something different. They don't actually come back to the game. So they've never learned the skill of dealing with each other. So usually timeout a lot of times is used to break up something, but never really having the parent come in and teach. And that's one of the misuses of it. Plus, as an adult, I mean, if you're an adult and you do something wrong, your boss doesn't come in and say, you know, you had to go into the parking lot for a few minutes.
Go sit in your car.
Yeah, go sit in your car. I mean, you deal with it. If you're upset, I mean, you're upset. The boss says you may need to take a break. You may take a walk, but he doesn't send you to the car. I mean, so the more we can start treating children like adults, not exactly like adults, but the more adult-like the more the child can learn the social skills.
So how should we use timeout?
Timeout should be used only to help a child calm down. So for example, if you're watching a child either becoming frustrated while playing with other children, or sometimes the child becomes frustrated when they're doing something themselves, trying to figure out a puzzle. You've seen children work with like Legos and they become frustrated. Next thing you know, the Legos are all over the place. The parent has to watch the child and start to pick up cues when he or she is starting to lose control. Being children don't have emotional control. Their range of emotions go from happy to sad to angry very quickly. our jobs as parents is to teach that emotional control. So you walk in and you don't use it – again, if you're not using it as a punishment, so the kid will understand. If you say, look, I see you're starting to lose control. I think we need to take a time out. And so it's not as a punishment but seen as something beneficial. And it's the tone of voice of the parent. So if the parent comes in and says, that's it, you got a time out, that's not going to work. The more gently the parent can say it, the more modeling the parent can do, the parent comes in and says, look, I think we need to take a time out, the more likely this will work for the kid.
If a child has just made us angry by that child's behavior, how can we teach him to calm down when we're ready to scream our heads off?
Well, first of all, we have to calm down first, okay? That's when I would suggest that the adult take the time out. I mean, if you're that frustrated, this technique's not going to work. I mean, if you are ready to scream. You know, I notice that, you know, a lot of times we want kids to calm down and we say it like, will you please calm down? That's not that's not going to help. That's not going to get a kid to calm down. So it's you as the parent have to say, look, I got to calm myself down before I approach this kid. I mean, that's one of the main things.
A few days ago, I saw somewhere, and I can't remember who it was who said this, that when my children are really out of control, I always use the playpen. And when things calm down a bit, I climb back out.
That's good. That's good.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on Time Out.
The popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Dr. Richard Lang about Time Out. I'm picturing a situation where a toddler is out of control and carrying on and so forth, and the parent is thinking of using a time out. But, of course, that means picking up the screaming toddler and taking him or her to his room where he may try to come right out.
Well, that's the interesting thing. When you time out a child, it doesn't mean sending them to a room. Children need to learn how to relax. And what's fascinating to me was years ago, I read a book called The Relaxation Response. And basically it said that we don't know how to relax. We actually have to teach our body how to relax. And while preparing for this program, I was in one of the large bookstores, and I noticed that there's a whole section on how to relax. I mean, there's books and books and books on how to relax for adults. So the thought occurred to me, if adults don't know how to do this, if adults have a hard time learning to relax, how do we teach this to children? And what we do is we say to the kid, you got to calm down. Why don't you calm down? Why don't you just calm down? As if the child has a skill that we don't have. So time out really is to teach a child how to calm down. Now, for children, it doesn't necessarily mean that you put them in isolation, because when a child's isolated, it causes a lot of anxiety. You know, it's basically saying, if you behave this way, I don't want you. I don't want you around. So I don't like that message. If it's a young child, if it's a toddler, you time out with the child. You say, look, I see you're getting frustrated. Why don't you come with Dad into the kitchen? We need to calm down. Now, teaching a child to calm down may be using deep breathing, which sometimes works. It may be taking a little walk. It may be distraction, like, why don't we do this for a while? Some kids are so hyper that when they need to calm down, they just can't. So you have to get them to walk a little bit or talk a little bit or move a little bit, and that will help them calm down. So the goal is just getting them to settle down and then, again, returning them to that situation. Now can you go back to your Legos, or now can you go back to that without getting frustrated? So I never tell parents to isolate when doing a timeout. Now, when the child's older, they may be able to do that. I mean, if the child's 8, 9, or 10, they may be able to go to the room room and calm down. I always tell parents, never send a child to the room because, you know, then when you want the child to go to bed and you say, it's time to go to your room, the kid's like, what did I do wrong? And the child has to learn how to do this in all different situations. So if you're always using, say, a bad boy's chair or a room to time out, the child's not learning to do the skills in the store, in the restaurant, somewhere else. So you should vary the places. You know, why don't you come in the kitchen, or why don't we go into the backyard, or why don't we go here? So that the child's learning how to calm down in different scenarios, not always having to be sent to the room or the chair.
So you don't recommend timeout should be 1 minute for a one-year-old. Well, that's kind of unrealistic. Two minutes for a two-year-old, three minutes for a three-year-old, that kind of thing. Mm-mm. I've read that before.
And yeah, that's common. I recommend that the parent really gauge. I mean, some kids will calm down right away. You know, sometimes it's just removing the kid right away from the situation. The kid, like, all right, I got it. I'm calm. All right, fine. Show me that you're ready to go back. Basically, that's one technique. You can say, show me that you're ready to return. What are you going to do with your sister? The kid says, I'm going to bop her in the head. You're not ready to go back. So, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to handle this? Well, all right, I'm going to let her watch what show she wants. Okay, good. Sounds like you're ready to go back. So you sort of ask the child, you know, are you ready? Because you're teaching self-regulation skills. I mean, that's what's so fascinating about, you know, how children develop self-regulation. You know, I had my grandson the last 2 years at Halloween. He just ran from house to house to house to house till he dropped. This year, it was maybe because I do these techniques with him, but this year, about an hour, he said, I think I want to go back to the house because I don't want to get too tired, which I was shocked.
Wow.
I was shocked. I remember looking at him. But I think that, you know, that sense of self-regulation is really, really important, maybe because I do this with him. Maybe he's sort of picked – I'm hoping he's picking this up, so.
It's interesting. He didn't need to go to more houses and get more candy.
No,
he needed to relax.
He needed to – he was like, I don't want to get too tired. I'm like, oh, okay.
Are there certain components to a productive timeout session that you would say, okay, this probably should happen, this should happen, that should happen?
I think the main component is you have to label. I think it's very important for children to hear – labels. And what I mean by that, for example, and this doesn't relate to timeout, but it's an example of the use of labels. If you walk in and the two children are bickering and you say to the kids, look, you guys are fighting. And the reason why you do that is because the children, again, they don't have the emotional regulation. So they will turn to you and they'll say, we're not fighting. Okay, we're not fighting. But in their minds, they're not fighting. But as the adult, you have to label that behavior. No, what you two are doing, I call fighting, and I don't allow. So you're labeling the behavior for them so that they understand it. That's the first component of timeout. I see you're losing control. Because the kid will argue with you. No, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm okay. I can do this. No, I see you're losing control. And if you want, you can also include some of the observable behavioral signs, like you're clenching your fist, you're making that face, you know, you're grimacing, your voice is starting to get louder. I think you need to get control. It's time to get control. So that's the first main component. The second main component is then when you take the child away, you really work on the relaxation skills or getting the child to calm down. You don't go and become the investigator. What happened? When did your sister say that? What? Because that, again, it makes the child all upset because they're reliving the experience. You don't want to discuss it. You don't want to be the investigator. You just want to take the child and say, let's go for a walk. Let's talk about something else. You want to help me make cookies. Distraction is sometimes wonderful. Sometimes you might even want to put the TV on for a few minutes just to get the kid to think about something else. And then when you see the kid calming down, you say, oh, I see you're getting control. you know, and again, the observable behaviors. It looks like you're calmed down. I see you're breathing nicely. Your face isn't red anymore. Now can you tell me what happened in there? So I think those are the three I see as the three main components of using this.
And one of the things we've talked about many times on our shows is I messages, which is exactly what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying, I see. You're not saying, you're doing this.
Exactly.
And that's very helpful to kids. They're not being attacked by you.
Right. And they can't argue with an observation.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on time out.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Dr. Richard Lang about timeout. What about the setting and the amount of time needed for timeout? You're indicating that the parent needs to choose those.
I think so. I believe that the parent really, and it depends on your household, depends on, for example, maybe in some people's homes, the kitchen is very relaxing for the family. In some homes, the kitchen's very chaotic for the family. So you may decide, okay, maybe we need to go down to the den, or maybe we need to go into the backyard, or maybe we need to go upstairs. So the parent, you sort of have to decide which environment the child will calm down in. Just moving them from one hyperactivity area to another is not going to do it. So it's really a matter of the parent has to make that decision.
Do you ever recommend letting them fight it out or resolve it without your getting involved?
That's a whole nother topic. Okay. But I think what happens is a lot of times with parents, for example, when I teach this in my parenting group and I say to parents, all right, the older brother's teasing the younger one, you know, calling her fatso, or, and you walk in there, and the younger child's clearly upset, and you walk in there, which child do you time out? Now, most parents will say the older child, but the answer is the younger child, because she's the one who's losing emotional control. So you say, you know, sissy, I really need you to come with me. Why don't we come into the kitchen? I need to talk to you. And then when she calms down, you say, I notice that you get really upset when your brother is looking for your attention or, you know, when he's calling you names. I notice that you really get upset with that. Now, there's some things you can do. You could ignore him. You could come and get me. But don't, when you come and get me, don't say, you know, Tommy's teasing me. Tommy's saying, you know, Tommy needs some extra attention from you, Mom.
Sure.
But you teach the child how to deal with the situation. And then you bring the kid back and you say, let's see how you guys do it now. So that you're really teaching, that's the problem, because the brother is perfect. He doesn't need to be calmed down. He's perfectly calm. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's the younger one who needs to get the emotional control.
It's not the provoker. It's the one who's being provoked.
Yes. So a lot of times, and again, answer to your question about fighting, like sometimes you can go in and there are situations where you may have to, you just don't know what's going on. And you may have to separate the kids because you're just confused. Okay. And then you don't know who's at fault, who's the problem. So what I've seen parents do is, you know, like, Tommy, go to your room. Get out of here. What you can say is, Tommy, I need you to leave for a few minutes. I need you to leave for a few minutes because I don't know what's going on here and I need to address what's going on with Susie right now. So you're not blaming him. You're not sending him away. You're just saying, look, I just need to separate you two for a while till I figure out what's going on. Now, it's hard as a parent because you go in there and you're angry, you're upset. It's hard to think this way. But it does make a lot of sense. Rather than saying, Tommy, go to your room. Get out of here. I need, you know, you need to say, Tommy, I need you to leave because I got to figure this out. And then once you figure it out, then you bring Tommy back. But there are times when you can go in and you just can kind of hang by the door. And the kids, sometimes the kids figure them out themselves. They're arguing about what TV show to watch or who's got the remote. You know, you can just hang back and they figure it out themselves, especially if you've been teaching them how to get emotional control. So
it's funny, when I think about timeouts, I think about the story that I think Teddy Kennedy used to tell about his family where there were so many kids. And Rose, I guess, when they were misbehaving, would give them timeouts. She would use it as punishment, or at least to separate them. And so she would send the kids into different closets, evidently. And he told the story of at one point he was given a timeout, and so she told him, you go in that closet. So he went into that closet, and he was really thrilled to see upon opening the door to the closet that his sister Eunice was also in that closet. So they had a very good time.
I think also along with that story went the problem that Rose had keeping track of which child was where and how many were in closets at the same time.
They could certainly take care of working on their clothes or their wardrobe. Well, here's the other emotional control piece.
Okay.
You've got the screaming toddler.
Uh-huh.
In the grocery store.
Right.
Okay. You can't go to your room. You can't go to the kitchen. You can't go. What do you do?
What I usually say to the kid is you have a choice, okay? You can calm down and we can finish shopping and we can get hopefully there's something he wants or she wants, maybe the popsicle. Let's say it's the popsicle. Or you can say, look, you know, if you choose to continue, you have a choice. We can finish shopping or I can pick you up and take you out of here and take you to the car. What's your choice? And you may have to do that. Mm-hmm. And you may have to take the kid home.
And you're hoping that it's not snowing or
sleeting. And you make sure, and this is, again, not really punishment, but it's more not your logical consequences. You know, you hopefully pick up things that you need, but the treats you kind of leave behind. So when the kid says, can I have my popsicle? You say, honey, remember, we had to leave the store because you chose to carry on. So there is no popsicle. So I hope next time you get some control.
Do toddlers remember?
I think they do. I think they do.
I think it's pretty vivid if you get home and you don't have the item that you told them you were going to have to leave behind.
Yeah, I think they do. And also, you can also prepare. I mean, if you have this problem with this kid doing this a lot, and it's really hard for parents to do, but I recommend this all the time, is, you know, trial runs. We're going to go to the store. We're just going to get one item. See how you handle it. I think the reason why the child screams is that it is overwhelming. It's a lot of noise. You go from the nice, peaceful house. You're sitting in this cold metal thing. There's lights, noise. I sometimes lose it in the supermarket. I can see how children...
Especially at the cash register.
Yes. I can see how children could just melt down. And so, I mean, I think, you know, parenting is a hard job. It is really a hard job. And, you know, it requires you to think out, is the child tired? Is the child ready to do this? Sometimes you take the child to the store right before the nap time. And, you know, so you...
It's fraught.
Is there a time when you can decide, well, a child is old enough to decide for himself or herself whether timeout is needed in a certain situation?
If you start early with the kids, I think they do start figuring it out. I think like my grandson figured out that he didn't want to run to every house at Halloween. I think hopefully probably about, and again, I'm not an expert on brain development, but just from my experience, about 7 or 8, the kid starts figuring it out to say, look, I got to walk away. I got to calm down. I got to get out of here.
Having been guided to that over
a
period of years.
Right.
Unfortunately, we can't use any more time for this discussion, but before we close, what resources would you recommend for listeners who would like to pursue further some of these issues we've been discussing?
For natural and logical consequences, there's a program called Active Parenting, which is excellent. I'm Michael Popkin. They have a website, www.activeparenting.com. They have a whole catalog of stuff. I also use in my parenting group a book and video by Barbara Coloroso called Winning at Parenting Without Beating Your Kids. It's an excellent resource.
Is it a book and a video?
It's a book and a DVD. I also like Love and Logic, the site Love and Logic, at www.loveandlogic.org.
Well, you have certainly given us a lot of information about love and logic and time out and some very good parenting tips. So, Dr. Richard Lang, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. And please spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Mention show number 403 and tell us, if you can, what station you're listening to.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from our listeners. Our sound engineer is Elizabeth Buckle. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.